You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Saturday, July 17th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and find one of our Locked On rooms every day, all week. It's Spotify Green Rooms. Download the app now. It's a fun little platform. You can talk with each other. You can talk with the host. It is enjoyable. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Prospect Friday is coming to you on Saturday this week. I was on the boat yesterday out on the lake on Lake Minnetonka. Just a beautiful day. And the Twins had a game that was postponed. They had two games that were postponed yesterday. They're in the midst of a doubleheader today. Charlie Barnes made his debut in game one. Kenta Maeda's going in game two. A little bit of a shaky inning in the first, but has gotten out of it since. We'll see how the outing ends up for Kenta. Donaldson, little RBI single to get things going on the top of the first. But let's talk about some prospects, and then we'll talk about the Byron Buxton news that dropped a few nights back. Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic tweeting about Byron Buxton and extension possibilities with the Twins. We're going to look at both sides today, and we've talked about extending Byron Buxton and what that might take in the past, but it's an interesting time right now with the deadline and with Buxton being hurt and with the year that he's had, you know, both good and bad, that it's an interesting time, and certainly with this news is an interesting time. But let's check in on our guy, Jose Miranda. Guess what? Last eight games for Miranda coming into tonight, hitting 400, 486 on base. He's slugging 700 with two home runs, three doubles, five walks, and five strikeouts. That's in the last eight games, and it's 35 plate appearances. On the season now, 63 games across two levels at Wichita and St. Paul. Is hitting 350 with a 418 on-base percentage and is slugging 611, an OPS of 1,029, 18 home runs, 13 doubles. Unbelievable year. 31 extra base hits in just 63 games for Jose Miranda. Walk rate 9%, strikeout rate just 12.7%. He's driven in 52 runs in those 63 games. Jose Miranda's having one of the best years of any player in the minor leagues. He's been really, really good and really hasn't missed a beat since joining the St. Paul Saints. You see in the last eight games, OPS over 1,000. Just unbelievable stuff from Miranda, and he continues to just chug along and have a tremendous year. And I think it does make an impact for when the Twins are thinking about trading Josh Donaldson, if that's something that they're mulling. I do think the emergence of Jose Miranda matters, and Miranda can play second, he can play first, he can play third, maybe a little bit of short in an emergency situation, but I think we've seen some gold glove level plays at third base. I'd love to see him play third for the Twins in the future if Josh Donaldson is moved, but I do think it matters, and I think it's something to monitor. Miranda just keeps crushing it for the Saints. Someone else crushing it for the Wichita Wind Surge. So exciting to see, given the struggles that he had, the injury, in the prospect pedigree, Jordan Balazovic, who we talk about a lot on the show, Twins top pitching prospect. It's close. I mean, now Balazovic's probably leapfrogged Duran just because Balazovic's put together this amazing stretch. Duran is injured and even before then was not very good. But Balazovic has been great. His last three starts, 18 and two-thirds innings pitched, zero earned runs, 24 strikeouts, three walks. Opponents are hitting 100. Opponents are 6-for-60. With six singles and 24 strikeouts over that stretch for Jordan Balazovic. On the season now, it looks really good. I mean, a couple starts ago, we were looking at his line, and it was like a 750 ERA. Like, it was, it didn't look good at all. But now on the season, eight starts, 2.89 ERA, 33% strikeout rate, 5.8% walk rate for Wichita. It's Jordan Balazovic being Jordan Balazovic in the minors. He's dominated at every level, pitched very, very well over the last month, basically, for Wichita, and has been just tremendous. I think Balazovic will be in St. Paul soon, a la the Josh Winder track. I think maybe by August should be in St. Paul if he continues to dominate at this level. I mean, why not? Why not move him up? You know, he's shown 95, 96, 97 with the fastball. He's a competitor. He looks like he's going to beat you when he's on the mound. I love his presence on the mound, and he's just been absolutely dominant. This is exactly what you want to see from your top pitching prospects. And I'm sure the Twins are just floored with the progress and the the results for Jordan Balazovic. He's put it all together here recently. Another Twins pitching prospect made his MLB debut today. I mentioned Charlie Barnes, the left-hander, goes 4 2/3, one earned run, strikeout, walk, 4 hits against the Tigers. I thought he looked good. I'm going to be skeptical always, and this remains true with Bailey Ober too, of guys who don't throw very hard these days, because it's not, you know, it's just hard to come up, and I've talked about this a lot before when it, as it pertains to Ober, it's just hard to come up and get through a lineup two times, even three times definitely, when your fastball is 90-91. And that doesn't mean you can't have a great major league career even in today's game when everyone basically is throwing like 94-95 plus. But it's just, there's going to be, it requires more from your secondary pitches. It requires better command. It requires a lot more from the pitcher when they don't have that velocity. And I think Barnes looked good. You know, he's eating the corners of the zone. Changeup looked good. Curveball was good. I thought he had a nice debut today against a poor Detroit Tigers team. But I thought he did a really nice job after giving up the leadoff home run to Robbie Grossman. Just shut down the lineup, basically. Got out of a little jam. Got a double play ball. I thought Barnes did a good job. You know, a lot of people had called for Charlie Barnes to be called up and make a start and make his debut with the way that the Twins have pitched. And I don't think it's, you know, if J-Hap is traded or when J-Hap is traded for whatever they get, Charlie Barnes, I'd be fine with slotting into the rotation. But that's under the assumption, too, that that spot would be a door for Jordan Balazovic to come in or Josh Winder to come in throughout the year. And I think that would be true. And also, you got to keep in mind that Bailey Ober is on certainly an innings count after the lost season last year and just the injuries that he's had in his career. I don't think he's ever thrown like over 100 and something innings, you know, low 100s in the minor leagues. So it's something to monitor in the fourth and fifth spot in the rotation. When you see Barnes pitch well, Jordan Balazovic pitching well at AA, Josh Winder pitching well at AAA. And Winder got beat up a little bit in his last start, but still a 3.75 ERA so far with the Saints. He's been good. And I think that's a spot that the Twins need to leave open to get these guys in and get looks at them. And I think that's what they're going to do. But Charlie Barnes falls under that group. I thought he looked good today. Let's talk about some more breakout hitters and a couple more good weeks after the break. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well. And these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me, that is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Brent Rooker, there's a name. Brent Rooker, I thought, definitely would break camp with the Twins this year. I thought he really would, and then they signed Kyle Garlick or picked up Kyle Garlick off waivers and really liked him, and I like Kyle Garlick too. I think his absence has in some ways been understated, like the importance of his absence to the Twins, because he was crushing left-handed pitching and you know, even had some big hits against James Garinchak. It was his highlight of the season. Hopefully Garlick's on the way back. But Brent Rooker in his last 5 games, 7 for 20, 4 home runs, a double. And on the season at AAA for the Saints, remember, you know, Rooker came up for a bit with the Twins, was really poor defensively, wasn't hitting the ball very well, striking out way too much, and got moved down. Now he's played 57 games for the Saints. That's hard to believe. Is hitting just .249, but on-base percentage is .370, slugging .582. He's a high OPS, low average, high strikeout, high walk, you know, high power guy. When I talked to Brent like May of 2020, as the season was shut down, and I compared his game at the time to Miguel Sano, and, you know, it was a compliment, certainly, at the time, the season Sano was coming off of in 2019, but you see, with guys like Sano or guys like Rooker, what can happen when they don't time it up or when they're going through tough stretches. It's uglier than any other player type, and I think for Brent Rooker, that was the case earlier this year with the Twins. When he's not timed up, he just doesn't have the contact ability to keep a high average or at least remain at sea level. And Sano's the same way. And the good thing about Rooker is when he's on, like, he'll have weeks like this. And that's what happens to Sano too. Like, it's very similar in just a player profile way and the defense as well. But, you know, Rooker, 14% walk rate, 29% strikeout rate at AAA, 19 homers, 28 extra base hits in 57 games. So huge power. We know the power that Brent Rooker has. And I do think he'll get a look this season, you know, when and if Nelson Cruz is traded, unfortunately. I think Brent Rooker, I agree that he probably will slide in and get a lot more looks. But you also have to think, like, Buxton's going to be back hopefully eventually. Then you have Kepler as your fourth outfielder. They'll probably use that DH spot against righties. It'll be Kepler or Larnach or Kirilloff or Arise. And then against lefties, it'll be Rooker, you know, or Garlic when he's back. And you'll kind of funnel those guys through. Rooker probably play a little first base maybe. He can play in the corners against lefties. He'll move around. I think he'll be up fairly soon. I think he's done enough. And it's a low batting average, but still the power's there. That he's earned another chance, I think, with the Twins and the way their season's gone. If they were winning and they were in a pennant race, I would say no, but they're not. And I think that, you know, it's close enough where that would allow Brent Rooker to come up and try to make an impact with the Twins. Edouard Julian, last five games, 286. He's hitting .400 on base percentage, .524 slugging percentage. Julian up with Cedar Rapids, home run, two doubles. On the season, 62 games. He's hitting .282, but his on-base percentage is .465. It's higher than his slugging percentage of .460. Usually that's a really bad thing, because if your on-base percentage is like .330 and your slugging percentage is like .300, it means you got no pop. But for Julian, his on-base percentage is so high, and he's still slugging .460. He's also 24 stolen bases in 26 attempts, striking out 25% of the time, something to watch, but walking 24% of the time. Unbelievable walk rates. Another, you know, nice little chunk of games here. Last five for Edouard Julian. He's had a great year for the Twins. Yennier Cano, right-handed relief prospect for the Twins, got beat up after getting called up from Wichita in his first outing with St. Paul. But in his last 12 and one-thirds innings pitched, a 1.46 ERA, 18 strikeouts and five walks, mid-90s fastball. Great stuff. Yennier Cano, I think, is a guy we're definitely going to see here at the end of the season for the Twins. And Giovanni Moran as well was moved up. Cano's already in St. Paul, and Moran going to join him. I'm excited to see how those two progress at AAA. But Cano's been really, really good recently. Chris Valmont going to go tonight for Wichita on his last five starts. 22 and two-thirds innings pitched, 37 strikeouts, and a 2.78 ERA. Too many walks, 14 walks for Valmont, but swing and miss stuff. You know, he's got the dominant stuff. I think Valmont is another one to watch here, right-handed pitcher for Wichita. Twins got him in the Sergio Romo deal, for those who don't know. Other notes in the minors, Matt Wallner has started a rehab assignment. I love Matt Wallner, not just because he's from Forest Lake, but also because I do think that there's some real power in that bat, and I think he showed us that with Cedar Rapids earlier this year. He started a rehab assignment with the FCL Twins, and he'll make his progression there, coming off a wrist injury. I think it was a hamate bone, broken hamate bone. He's been out for a while. Keone Cavaco, I haven't seen him since, I think, Thursday. But since returning from the injured list from a concussion, he's 9 for 25 with two doubles, six walks, and nine strikeouts for Fort Myers. That does not include his rehab assignment. You know, brief. I think it was a 2-3 game rehab assignment. He's 9 for 25. That's a .360 average. And again, two doubles, six walks, nine strikeouts since returning. Keone was the Twins' first-round pick in 2019. Promotions to watch for. I mentioned Rooker. I think he's probably the closest. Miranda is one to watch. I think those two really depend on the trade deadline and what happens there. Mitch Garver and Jake Cave are in the middle of their rehab assignments in St. Paul, and they'll probably be up soon. So you're going to see some, I think you're going to see some promotions soon. Some Twins regulars, you know, former Twins regulars that were playing earlier this year that have been injured, and some, I think, prospects that you're going to see as well. Cano and Moran as well come to mind. I think Cano you're going to see fairly soon. Let's talk about Byron Buxton. Contract extension and everything that comes with it after the break. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. use that promo code Locked On. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On. So, report comes out from Ken Rosenthal that the Twins are working to try to extend Byron Buxton. A little bit of pressure. If he does not sign an extension, it's likely that he'll be traded at the trade deadline this year, in the next 2 weeks, or in the offseason. And that's some leverage that the Twins are trying to gain on Byron Buxton. I don't think you leverage that unless you know that Byron would prefer a long-term contract. They've also offered him reportedly more than $70 million in a contract offer. And I think a lot of people see it and they're like, whoa, that is crazy. I mean, it's crazy to offer a guy who's been on the injured list. I read today, I think it's 14 times in his professional career. It's like 14 times on the injured list, and it's all like different things. He's got concussions. He's got hips and shoulder and all these different things that he's gone through. I mean, he broke his tooth biting into a steak in spring training. It's really unbelievable. But some people look at it and they say, oh my goodness, that's crazy. Why would you commit that much money to a guy who's never healthy? The reason you do it is because Byron Buxton is everything you want in a ball player. He is off the field tremendous. He's a leader on the field. He's one of the most electric players in the game. He's the best defensive center fielder in the world. He's added this power that makes him a ridiculous threat at the plate. He'll beat out infield singles. He'll steal bags when you ask him to. He plays harder than anyone I've ever seen. He is everything that you want. And I wouldn't say this about everyone. Like, I wouldn't say that this risk is worth it for everyone. And it's not my money. It's not any of our money, unless Jimmy Pollad's listening. But I take this risk on a guy like Byron Buxton because he is so good. And he's without a doubt one of the best players in franchise history. And this is a franchise that has had really good ball players. I mean, Rod Carew, Harmon Killebrew, Tony Oliva, so many good ball players. Kirby Puckett, guys, 50 career war plus guys, you know, Hall of Famers. I think Byron Buxton is among the most talented in Twins history. With, you know, he's right up there with Maurer, right up there with those guys. There's no question about it. And I think this is the guy that you take a risk on. If you're going to take a risk on a guy with this track record, with the injury history, you do it on Byron Buxton. And I know it's long and I know it's extensive, but this is a guy that I would bet on. I mean, I'm going to bet on Byron Buxton all day long. And I understand both sides of it. Like, I can see why they'd be hesitant to do that. I can see why that would be something a lot of people don't want to happen, because it's, you're potentially restricting yourself in other areas. And people will be like, well, the Pollads are billionaires. They can just spend the money anyway. We know they're not going to spend the money anyway. You know, that doesn't mean that because they signed Buxton to this huge extension that if it doesn't pan out well, they're going to be like, oh, we'll just spend that anyway. Like, if Buxton's making $15 million in a season, he's out for the year, and you say, all right, we'll just spend that $15 million extra to make up for it. I mean, I don't think that that's something that we've seen from ownership. I do think that they've been better since the new regime has been in. I think Falvey and Levine, they have his trust and they have the Pollad's trust, and they will. I mean, they signed a 34-year-old third baseman to a $92 million deal. I think they will pull the trigger to a certain extent. They're still the Twins. You know, they're still a mid-market. They're still going to have a mid-market payroll, but still right around league average. And it is a considerable risk, but the reward is so great, because every single day that Byron Buxton is on the field, you have a substantially better chance to win that game that day. And I'm so confident in saying that. There's zero question about that. Every time he's on the field, he will impact the game in a way that can help you win. And that's I mean, how many players are like that? That's why when we talk about Byron Buxton when he's healthy and the numbers he puts up are comparable to Mike Trout. They're comparable to Ronald Acuna Jr. and comparable to Juan Soto, and the best players in the game, because he is one. He's one of the best players in the game, and he's a guy I would take a risk with, you know. And I think Buxton wants to stay. He said before he wants to stay. If that means anything, I don't know. I think he does like it in Minnesota. There's a history with the front office, you know, 2018 service time manipulation, whatever. Hopefully he's over that, and then both sides are over that. But I think he wants to stay, and I think this might be the best offer he gets in his career, honestly. And he has made a lot already. I think he's going to make close to $20 million through next year already, with signing bonuses and arbitration and everything. So he's already pretty set financially. But I still think it's beneficial for him to lock down another $70 plus million and get that security. And then also, like, Buxton's only 27. If he takes a 4 or 5 year contracts extension, he can still go back into free agency at like 32, 33, and he might not cash out the way he might if he has a fully healthy season next year. But I mean, who says that's going to happen? You know, no one knows if that's going to happen, and that's the risk here with extending Byron Buxton. But I never want to see Byron Buxton in another uniform. He's just one of those guys that's a Minnesota Twin with the storied prospect history, with his career and the way that his career arc has gone. I don't want to see him ever play for another team. And I think that this would be a huge step in the right direction of committing to him and betting on him. And I think he's the heartbeat and he's the engine of the Minnesota Twins. He is. And I know, like, he's only played in 38% of the games, I think it is, the last 3 years. And that's obviously a major concern. The injury history and the injury risk is huge, but he's so good. He's so magnetic and he's so electric that this is the guy. This is the guy I would pick more than anyone to take a risk on. That's where it stands for me. And I'm in full support of a contract extension for Byron Buxton. That number with the incentives, I think, makes sense. I think in the $80 to $90 million range with incentives, if he plays more, to bump it up. I mean, if you have an incentive for Byron Buxton, like, we'll add a ridiculous, say you add $10 million onto his contract if you play 150 games. I promise you, he will be worth that $10 million and another $10 million and another $10 million. He's a $30 million a year player if he plays 140, 150 games a year, and we know that about Byron Buxton. So I promise you, if that incentive's built in and he has a 150-game season, the Twins are still going to get excess value on that bonus, because if he plays, he's so good that he will be worth it. And I think that that's what it comes down to for me. Whether he wants to wait it out and bet on himself to stay healthy next year and go into free agency is a whole nother ballgame. But if I'm the Twins, I give him the best offer you possibly can within reason, and you lock him up long term. That's how I feel about it. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. We'll be back next Monday. Join me then. We'll talk about this weekend series with the Tigers and a whole lot more on the Locked On Twins podcast. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Let me know what you think, and we will chat next week. Go Twins.